Hey, everybody. Welcome to Revival Town Podcast. I'm Chuck Tate. That's Andy King.
How you doing, mate?
Doing great. Always good sitting with you.
Back in the green room. That's the thing with this podcast, especially if you watch on YouTube. You never know where we're going to
pop up at.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, with some of the stuff that we've got tech-wise, we could, like, do this from a coffee shop.
Right, yeah.
I think we should try and do something like that.
We definitely need to take this on the road.
It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
You know? Maybe we do next year a...
Next year? You're planning ahead.
Book tour / podcast tour at the same time.
You're looking at your tour for your new book.
Yeah, yeah. But what if we... I'm going to be setting up a tour. What if you went with me and...
Book tour
/ podcast next week, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think that'd be pretty cool, don't you?
I do.
Where would you go? Like, where are you thinking for the tour? We haven't talked about this. And this is like...
This is not planned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what I will do is I will put together social media...
Let's not answer the question, though.
Well, no, I mean, I don't have any idea where I'm going to go.
You're looking for people.
Yes, I will put it out there.
Oh.
And that's what I did, you know, several years ago with 41 Will Come. I ended up doing nine dates, I think.
Yeah.
It was like
your mom and dad's, your mother-in-law's.
Yeah, they were all house churches. Backyard barbecues.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, we'll see who responds, but I'm going to definitely... put it out there.
Yeah, I think that'd
open
be
it
great,
up. Maybe you're a pastor listening, and we'd love to come.
Yeah, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, would.
Perhaps record the podcast on your your tour, and
so I actually did a date at Connect Church with Dave Jane.
Oh yeah,
Elevate Church in Morton.
Yeah,
I did Hope Co., which was Alpine Chapel at the time with Dave Mudd, and then preached at a church in St. Louis in Medford, Oregon. That was fun.
Wow.
And you know what's funny about that? When I got on the plane to fly home, I realized I had my car rental key with me on the plane.
How did you return it then, originally?
So I was panicked, and the plane didn't start taxiing down the runway yet. So I ran up. They wouldn't let me exit the plane.
Right.
But they called and grabbed somebody who worked at the airport, and he returned it for me.
So everyone was mad at you because you made the plane late.
I didn't put us behind or anything because they didn't let me leave.
Oh, okay.
They didn't let me exit the plane. Okay. So they just had somebody.
And it hadn't pushed away from the gate.
They hadn't pushed away.
Yeah, okay.
No. But I talk about panic, though, because... it was the church's rental car, the church that I was preaching at, and yeah, man, it was.
Oh man, there's always a story with
you. Yeah, yeah. And I went to the Houston area, preached at a church in Texas as well, and so it was cool. So hopefully, I can come to a city near you.
And
we'll bring Tate and his mate on the road.
Shameless plug there. That's good. That's good though. No, I think that'd be pretty cool because I know. The ins and outs of just promoting something like this, getting the word out to people, definitely would appeal to some if you were going to them,
right?
Different areas, So that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
we'll see.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Any dates for? I know last few weeks we were talking about how to write a book, but any dates for you on like? When it'll come out, or is it too early?
It's too early. So they are designing the book cover, and they're in the first round of edits. So I don't really
know. They asked me to do it.
I haven't had my marketing team meeting yet, so
yeah.
I'm not for sure. They did send me a coffee mug that says, this is what a published author looks like. That was kind of cool. But I don't know. It was originally scheduled for the first Tuesday in January. But I have a feeling it's going to be beyond that.
Well, they did reach out to me, Chuck.
Okay.
Yeah, they asked to see if I could do one of my drawings.
Okay.
For the front cover, I was like, sure.
I was wondering how the British flag made it on it. I'm like, wait a minute. No. Instead of 9 words from Jesus, 9 words from the King.
Same thing, right?
Right. Right.
Well, today we're going to do something a little different. We have heard back from people that, yes, they love it when we have guests on the show, but we've heard from a lot of people saying that they like it when it's just us two talking, which I don't understand why, but...
Don't know why either.
Yeah.
We have fun regardless.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the comic relief. Well, today we're going to do something a little bit different. Some of the things that I do and I've even done with Chuck and with what I've done at Dream Center is all to do with staff culture at organizations and businesses and things like that. And again, I'm putting this right out up front. We are not professionals at this, at the Dream Center. Like, you know, we have 65 employees and a lot of moving parts. And so with what we're talking about today doesn't mean the Dream Center must have made it, right? Because I don't really feel a church or organization does make it in this area.
Well, let's not sell yourself short, because I mean the Dream Center Peoria, we're talking about 8 floors. You have the village, you have the homeless shelter, you have all these different trades and backpack Peoria, you have after school programs, you have mentorship, so many things. You have the store,
right?
I mean, there is all the mobile,
the
mobile trucks and stuff. I mean, it's not a small operation, and for that to run effectively, it requires leadership, and it requires culture, right? Staff culture and core values, all those things. And you're a creative, and I think you do it well. You do it really well.
Well, so, thanks, man. Yeah, I mean,
and that's why I reached out a couple years ago, and you met with our team, and you helped us write our core values. We reworked our mission statement. And I don't know how the word King got in there, but still, it's, you know. But no, seriously. So this is really, really good stuff. I think no matter who's listening, no matter whether it's somebody who is on staff at a church or a lay leader or just a house mom, there's great stuff that can be learned from mission statements and values and things like that.
Yeah, it just what I felt was way back, there was a lot of people on the bus, but they didn't know where they were going when it come to our staff, right? And through some of the things that we'll talk about today, you'll hear about catchphrases and things that we can say as a staff that brings everyone to focus immediately. They know where we're going to talk about. They know what's about to be said or the type of topic we're going to talk about. Because of some of the staff values that we have. And so I've seen this worked out with families, even having a family staff value, a core value of the house and things like that. So this isn't just for the nonprofit church business. It can be used in various other areas. Just the world that we are in is nonprofit and churches that we've seen it work.
Absolutely.
So let me give a bit of a brief on some of the things that we're going to talk about. Many years ago, you may have remembered, I think it's now 8 years. I saw something pop up yesterday. It's been 8 years since I was on staff at Crosspoint in Nashville.
Wow.
And what you'll hear today is really some of the things that I learned there that I brought back that I feel completely changed the Dream Center, right?
Yeah, and Crosspoint Church, for those who are unfamiliar with it, is a mega church in Nashville.
Yeah.
And doing big things.
Huge things. And they had invited me down there to really focus on their local and global outreach. And
I thought you were making the donuts.
Sometimes it felt like it, Chuck. No. They are a great church, still have a lot of friends down there. And at that time, they had 3 Dream Centers that were connected within the church. Now they are all separate entities. That was part of my role down there. It was setting them up. We've had Ketrick on on before that runs the Teen Dream Center. That was part of that. And so when I was down there, you know, they've got a, they at that time, they had a staff of close to 200 people, church of 8,000-9,000 people in attendance across 6 or 7 campuses. So staff culture is a big deal to them because not everyone is in the same room all the time talking about this, right?
Right, and not everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, yeah. And so, that for me, I learned a lot from that and was probably one of the main things that I pulled from there. So coming back, you know, getting the mission statement focused on what you do and who you're really trying to focus on was a big deal. So so that's we'll start there, mission statement. And I know you guys worked on this as well at Rock with me. You know, a mission statement, let me just read this. Mission statement indicates that your organization what it actually does. It needs to be a concise, specific, and easy to remember. A lot of churches tend to miss this brief and end up using fancy words, which hardly tells you anything about the church. Your organization's mission statement needs to be different than others. Let me just hit that hard. Church world it is very good at copying other places.
Right. Well, our church, our slogan used to be just do it. But I guess that's Nike's.
But it's
the gospel. Just do it.
Yeah, but it's true. Like like we look for, like, okay, for instance, for us, when we're looking at getting inspiration, we're not looking at other nonprofits. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're looking at something a little bit further afield, because we don't want to. We don't want to be seen as, oh, they're just copying those guys, or they're just, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So your mission statement needs to be yours. It identifies really with your organization.
Right. Where there's no vision, people perish. They run wild. They cast off restraint. So every pastor and leader who's listening, it's so vital to know what God's called you to do. What has God called your church to do?
Yeah.
What is your vision? Who are you?
Yeah.
And that's what, when we sat down with you, we really needed to fine-tune that.
Yeah, because it gets everyone focused on where they're going.
Right. And I mentioned not everybody's always on the same page. It's important. Everybody has to be on the same page. When you're running an organization, whether it's a church or a nonprofit or whatever, your staff, your leaders, everybody needs to be on the same page. And that can't happen if you don't even know your mission statement.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, years ago I met with the pastor. I asked him what their vision was, and he didn't really know. It was a smaller church, and I went to meet with them. The people didn't know. I had somebody in the church approach me and say, hey, I think this guy needs some guidance. And I sat down with them and said, listen, if you don't know the vision, the people don't know the vision.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out what it is, get your team together, figure out so you can communicate that effectively so everybody's heading in the same direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for us, you know, at Dream Center, ours is impacting families living in poverty, starting with kids and youth. That is what is at the forefront of all our staff. Whatever we're doing, we are wanting to impact families living in poverty, starting with kids and youth. Now, what it also does, and this is good for anyone in the nonprofit world, not only does it focus everyone, it also eliminates things.
Yes.
So you can imagine the Dream Center. We have so many people reaching out to us saying, hey, why don't you start this program at the Dream Center? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? We have to filter those requests with our mission statement, right? So for instance, a prime example, a few years ago, we had people reaching out to us saying, hey, there's a massive need in the area for really helping old folks, especially with meals and things like that, right? Older folks that can't get the groceries and things like that. Well, when you look at our mission statement, it's impacting families living in poverty. So, okay, old folks could be living in poverty, but it's starting with kids and youth, right?
Yep.
Even though we've got a heart to help whoever comes to our door, and we do, right? We have elderly people that come to our homeless shelter or in the village, different things like that. Our main core thing is starting with kids and youth within those families. And so it helps. A mission statement helps you to say no. Not in a mean way, but in a way of it just doesn't fit with where we are going.
Right. Otherwise, you would lose focus, and you would, if you were doing 1,200 things, you definitely wouldn't be doing a good job at all of those.
Right.
Right. A lot of things would be falling through the cracks.
Yeah.
But this allows you to focus.
Yeah.
So you're able to fulfill it.
Yeah. And so, for instance, when we have launched, you know, we've launched Zoe House. It opens in May. Zoe House is a home for young moms who are pregnant or just had the babies, but also who have nowhere to go, that are homeless, have been kicked out for some reason. We heard about this week, a 16, 17-year-old gal that reached out to us that had been kicked out of her home because the parents found out that she was pregnant. I mean, this is the reality. So for us, when we started dreaming about Zoe House, it filtered through the mission statement, which is impacting families living in poverty, starting with kids and youth.
Right.
And so that I think is a big thing. You've got to know what your mission statement is. You want to add anything else to that before we move on, Chuck?
No, I think the key is it indicates what your organization actually does. Not what you want to do. What are you? Who are you? What are you doing? What's coming out of, like, for us, and you helped us. For example, our mission statement used to be same message, different language. We're going to communicate the gospel with love in a way that people can understand.
Yeah.
All right. But what you helped us see was that was really more of a core value.
Yeah.
Right. Same message, different language. We want to communicate the gospel in a way that, with love, that in a way that people can understand, right? That's something that we do, but who we are is this Rock Church is a place where hope is offered, hope is given, and I mean, where hope is offered, help is given, and Jesus is the foundation. So our three words are hope, help, Jesus.
Yeah.
We filter everything through that, right? Does it offer hope? Is it going to help people? We got to keep it about Jesus, Church.
Yeah,
that's who we
yeah,
are. Yeah. So that really helped us. Everything else falls underneath that. Even all the core values, same message, different language. It's offering hope, help, and Jesus.
Yes, yeah. And that's the thing. And it can get very confusing. Is it a mission statement? Is it a core value? You're able to identify them. And let's think about core values then, right?
Yeah.
Core values is a big deal. You've got your mission statement now, but what are the core values? And I just wrote this down. Core values of an organization are those values we hold, which forms the foundation of which we perform work or conduct ourselves. So for instance, Dream Center, we have three core values: dignity, compassion, and purpose. Right? Everything drives through dignity. We're going to show compassion, but then we're going to ignite purpose. We don't want people to stay where they're at when they get to the Dream Center. We want to spark something in them so that they can become what God's really created them to be. That's our core values. That's not going to be the same at any other nonprofit unless they're copying us, right?
Right, right.
But what are the things, what are the values of your organization that you can hold on to that will form the foundations of what you do?
Love it.
You know, so.
Yeah, and we sat in your office as a team, and we saw your core values. We saw your staff values, which I know we'll probably get to later. And from stepping in, and I think everybody was able to, everyone that's familiar with Dream Center, you guys, it's evident that you filter everything through your mission statement, and your core values is what's important to you.
Yeah.
And we can just see it.
Yeah. Like, for instance, let me give a real practical side to this, right? We, as I mentioned, and if you've followed us for a long time, we have an emergency shelter that can be very hard for our employees, right? It's a tough side of the world that you see. You know, we're meeting people on the worst day of their life when they're coming into a homeless shelter, right?
Right.
And to be honest with you, you know, and I'm not saying anything that I haven't said to my staff or to the team there, but that has always been hard when it's 3 a.m, -10 outside temperature-wise. Someone comes in that may have mental issues that we see a lot of, that is yelling at the staff, you know, and there's some things we don't put up with. Like if someone goes to hit someone, they know they're out, right? And, yeah. And the hard thing for us is it's the last place in Peoria to go. Like we are the lowest bearing place for people to go. When you start talking about core values, and your first one is dignity, right? It is so hard for our staff, especially up there, that hold true to these values, but having to work them out sometimes is very hard, right? So right now, I'm being completely honest with you guys. We have a trainer from Chick-fil-A that is coming in. Because I turned to our housing gal and I said, I want our homeless shelter to become the Chick-fil-A of homeless shelters. Not that we're serving chicken.
That was my first question.
But well, we do. We serve great chicken. But what we are wanting to do is when you go to Chick-fil-A, the hospitality is unbelievable. Whether they're being shouted at or not, they stay the same. And so right now in the next week or so, we've got someone coming in that will... He has seen our core values, he's seen our staff values, and now he's going to add within that then, okay, how do we really present Jesus through dignity, compassion, and purpose when it's one of the hardest things to do when someone is yelling in your face?
Wow.
So that's the type of stuff that core values.
And speaking of Chick-fil-A, my son works there.
Yeah.
So he started there a few months ago. And they put up with so much stuff at the drive-thru. People are just rude, smoking weed, blowing smoke. I mean, the stories that he's told me of people that come, that try to change their order or they lie. And, but they always treat everyone with respect. They always do whatever they can to make things right.
Yeah.
And that's why they're the best.
Yeah.
You know?
And you would never know that they deal with that.
Right.
Because the next person that comes on along in the drive-thru, after that person's just yelled at them, hi, how can I help you?
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
Sorry, you would never know that, right? And that's the type of mentality we're trying to get on.
Love it.
At Dream Center. So we've talked about... you know, the core values that drive an organization, right? And they're the things that filter everything as far as how you conduct yourself.
Right.
But I think taking it to the next level for me and for our organization is then really nailing the staff values. And these are things that, let me read what a staff value is. Staff value is an organization, values of an organization are those values we hold, which forms the foundation on which we perform. Okay, so everyone is on the same page, right?
Right.
So let me, it gets a bit, the way we do it, okay, is we have these phrases that everyone knows where the conversation in the staff meeting or the conversation one-on-one is going to go. For instance, if I turn to someone and said, get out the boat, me and you would be like, what is he on about? But to our staff, what that basically means is follow Jesus. How is your devotion? How is your Bible reading? That is a core value. It's the first staff value, of what we do. Is get out
personal
the boat.
Spiritual discipline.
Yeah, where are you at? What are you doing? So that's one of the staff values. You know, a few other ones that we've got is use your blinker. use your blinker. So we'll be in a meeting and we'll start talking about use your blinker, which is not blink as in eyes, Chuck, but use your blinker, which talks about communication, right? When you're driving, you start using your blinker before you turn.
Right.
So we want to be ahead of the curve when it comes to communication. Communication wins. We're committed to being proactive and being honest in our communication. This is with one another and also outside the Dream Center as well. We have another one called Give Ministry Back. And this focuses on if we as a staff are the only ones doing ministry at the Dream Center, we've lost the plot. Giving ministry back means we are going to invite as many people on the journey as possible with regards to volunteers. And we're going to give ministry back to them to do. And we are there really to cheer and champion the volunteer on. Wow. So it's things good like stuff, that. Yeah. Keep Calm and Love On is another one that we've got, which is all about what I talked about upstairs, or, you know, in the homeless shelter, or in the after school program when we've got a kid shouting at you or not doing what you want them to do. Keep calm and love on.
Don't flesh out.
Yeah.
Keep calm.
Love on.
Love on. I love that.
Another one is use your megaphone. This is where we encourage the staff to share the stories of what's happening around the building.
I thought maybe it's a good thing. You don't want people getting these mixed up, so you got to keep calm. No, I'm using my megaphone! You will not talk to me that way. I will throw you back on the street.
Oh, wait. No, that's, I got them mixed up.
Got them mixed up there. Sorry. Good job. Good job, Chuck. But using the megaphone is huge. That we'll be in a staff meeting, and I'll just say, hey, let's use our megaphones right now. What's going on? And people will start talking. And from that, Chuck, we are then able to identify a story that may have happened that we're like, the world needs to know about that. And so our creative team then can then talk after the meeting about how do we get that on camera, or how do we communicate that at our end of year event. That won't happen unless people know how to use their megaphone. So that's a fun one. The next one is work hard, play hard. Work hard, but then we're going to have fun, right? So
it's not all work.
Not all work. Like this last week, I got Panera in and coffee instead of our team time where we're talking about work and stuff. We just hung out and did life together. You know, we've gone axe throwing at one of those axe throwing places and things like that, you know, over the years. And so just trying to, we've had go-karting.
That was a trust building exercise. Right? Yeah. Had to hold it, put an apple on your head.
Yeah. Why didn't you come? I was going to use you as an illustration.
I love that.
And one of our other ones is fill it to the brim. So we'll be in a meeting. I'll be like, we really filled it to the brim, guys. This happened just a few weeks ago with an event we had. And what that is whatever it takes, we as a staff will pour everything into it to fill it to the brim, and then God will bring the overflow, right? So it's a way of encouraging folks, like, hey, you did a good job. Or the flip side of that is not filling it to the brim and saying, guys,
man,
we need to give a little bit more on this. Like,
yeah.
What can we do to make it a little bit more? So it can go both ways as well. Another one that we've got, the eighth one we've got, is Better Together, and that's all about teamwork. And I got to say, our team at the Dream Center right now is really good at this. They know how to not only do stuff within their areas, but also lean into other areas to help one another out. And that's critical. I mean, I think you know that more than anything. With having a smaller staff, you've got to rely on others to help.
Absolutely. Yeah. It takes a team, and when everybody knows their role and they enjoy that role, right? Work hard, play hard. Filling it to the brim.
Yeah.
Working together. You know, a couple of days ago, I stopped by the church. We recorded a podcast, and I had, our youth were helping stuff eggs, and it was a big church-wide event, stuffing 10,000 eggs for our Easter eggs.
10,000 eggs.
And I was just telling somebody on our team this morning that, you know, I came in and it felt weird. There were a lot of people I didn't know, and we had new people serving, and we had different leaders and team members, and everybody was working together with this goal to stuff 10,000 eggs, over 1,400 prizes. I mean, it's just going to be crazy that we're going to give back to the community. One of our hashtags is 4-309, right? And for me, it was refreshing. You know, okay, I think I'm doing it. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's because everybody was doing what they're supposed to do. Working together.
Yeah, that's good.
But yeah.
Now this next one, we actually have it's not real, but we have a cuddly toy version of it, and it's called Throw the Grenade.
Cuddly toy version.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a grenade, a grenade that we put on the table. And this is like let me read what this is. We choose to throw the grenade on the table and not at each other. Mm. We will not participate in the meeting after the meeting, but rather weigh what needs to be said when given the chance. We will never leave. We will leave every meeting aligned. Right, it doesn't mean that we don't agree, right? But it means we're not going to have another meeting next to the water cooler, right? So if we're in a meeting and I'm like, I don't agree with this, so I'll and we have this. People will say, Andy, I need to throw the grenade right now. Like Chuck, can you explain this to me? Because it doesn't feel right. And you would explain, okay, I get it. It just stops those meetings outside of the meeting. And I can then, or others can say outside the meeting, hey, I need to throw a grenade right now. We should have talked about this in the meeting.
Right.
We shouldn't be doing this here. You know what I mean?
Yes. I think that's important. So in our staff meeting every week, we do something called wins and opportunities.
Yeah.
And our opportunities are almost like throwing grenades. We're like, listen, we're gonna discuss this. This fell through the cracks. This is an opportunity for us to be better. We're not gonna call it a loss.
Right.
All right. This is an opportunity for us to do it different, and we have to be willing to talk about it. We have to be willing to admit, we missed it right here.
Yeah.
So let's fix it. Let's not attack each other, but let's come together around this table and fix this problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't fix it if you don't know it's a problem. So someone has to be willing to say, hey, I'm going to throw the grenade right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But then everybody started picking up stuff and throwing it at me.
Yeah. The biggest rock.
Yeah.
The last.
Yeah, yeah. Was it a cuddly toy?
The last one that we have, and obviously with the Dream Center, right? And we want our staff to know that they can dream at the Dream Center.
Yeah.
So our last core value is dream one size too big. Mm. Like if we're doing an event, what would send it over the edge a little bit, right? Like Promise a Hope, the prom dress thing. We could just give out prom dresses at the Hope store and kids can be done with it, right? But no, what was one step bigger? We put it in the gym. We have a red carpet. We have music going. We've invited schools to come in. We've got accessories.
Flowers and makeup,
everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is dreaming one size too big. How can we make it bigger?
Love that.
Not to say, oh, we did the biggest thing, but how can we really push the boundaries of that dream, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a big one that we use. And I feel bringing them 10 values to a staff is critical. When a staff member comes on, we'll wait until a few new staff members have come on, and then we do a day called Culture Shock, and that's just me going over the staff values, the mission statement, and the staff values as well, and just really and then painting also within that. I paint the story of the Dream Center, how we got to where we're at, how we got the building, because everyone needs to know that's part of what we are,
right?
So
you have all these outside of your office on a wall, so everybody gets to see them. If we could hold it,
let me hold it. Let me go to a close up of me, mate, because then I can use this camera. So, you may be watching on YouTube right now, but I'm holding up a piece of paper, and it shows each one of those values, and we have that. Literally each one is on a wooden plaque as you walk into the Dream Center offices. So whenever staff are meeting with me, or sometimes we do staff in that area, staff team times, then it's always being reminded. Also, any job application. So for instance, if there's a job at the Dream Center going on, we lead every job description with our mission statement, core values, and this. And then we go into the job description, because we want folks to see this is what you're entering.
Right.
It's not just
know what you're signing up for.
Yeah, it's not your thing. This is a bigger picture thing. So so that's good. Just some of the stuff, and there we go.
Love it. Love it. And then you're going to end up with the right people, because they are going to understand everything before they even step in.
Yeah.
This is what I signed up for. This is what I'm going to do. And it's also a way for you to probably weed some people out. Go, you know what? I don't think you're the right fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I mentioned it earlier. We're not the best at this. It just helps us. And so obviously there are some folks that will come and they just weren't a fit, and you don't know that until you try, right? That's the thing with hiring people and what they're bringing to the table or not bringing to the table. We are not big on firing. I'll be honest with you. We don't fire a lot of people. Now, when it comes to like homeless shelter, stuff like that, and maybe things that happen, we don't put up with some of that. When it comes to dignity, I mean, dignity is where a lot of people get fired because they're not giving people dignity, right?
Yeah.
But it's very rare. And I think the reason why that is because someone may come to the organization, they may have thought they were going for a certain position, but once they get in there, we see, man, that person has got gift in here or there, or we're able to reposition. If they're open to it. If they're not, then, it's a different story.
Well, I think when you have a clear mission statement, you have clear core values, you have clear staff values, relationships are going to develop on your team, and it's going to be easier for them to get along and keep the main thing the main thing. Yeah. And I think that's probably why you haven't had to dismiss a lot of people, because you're setting yourself up for success with the things we've talked about today.
Yeah, and I joke around with our staff when they come on, and my joking around for some people has turned into legitimate statements. For instance, I always joke around and say, hey, you're coming on staff, I need you to retire with me. And that thought of, you're not here just for 6 months, right? You're like, I want you to retire with me. And there are certain people on our staff, Christy, Robbie, people like that. They've told me, they're like, we're in it for the long haul. Like, we are here till retirement with you, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's good to know when you're trying to set up programs that are for the long haul.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Man, yeah. Well, Revival Town Podcast, Andy, retire with me.
All right, mate. Okay.
Episode 1270. Today we're going to talk about retirement homes and how to get the right one. My life value is breathe. Don't forget to put water in my sleep apnea machine.
Wait, I do that now.
You put tea in it, though. Quit doing it.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Anyway, yeah, this has been good.
That's good. Well, there we go. We thought we'd do something a little bit different, and we definitely did, didn't we?
We did.
But you know what's next?
Oh, I've been waiting.
Sorry for that. Bit of gap there, but we're here. We are at Tate and His Mate, which is where we will talk about an English word phrase that you are not familiar with.
Correct.
That we will we, as in I, will try and stump you on.
Yes. Something that's familiar in the UK.
Yeah.
That's not familiar here.
Yeah.
I'm Tate, your mate.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
do it.
So, I got a few here. I don't know if you know this or not. So we just, how do I word this? In the afternoon, you're going to get this. A lot of people in the UK like to have a kip.
Have a kip?
Yeah, K-I-P.
Well, that could be so many things.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty broad there. A lot of people in the UK like to have a kip.
Yeah. Especially on the weekends when they're not at work.
I'm going to say a nap.
Oh, look at you.
Did I get it?
Look at you. Yeah.
Oh, I love me a good kip.
Yeah.
Man, I do a Sunday afternoon kip every week, man.
Yeah, a kip.
About 4 o'clock.
A kip
I'm
is
gonna
a nap.
Kick it with my kip.
yeah.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah, a kip. I'm going to have a kip. Man. No one will know what you say.
I'm going to make a hat that says Jesus took kips.
Oh, look at that. That's good.
Come on
That's
now.
Good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah, so kip. Make sure you try and use that this week. An English word for taking a nap.
All right.
All right. Well
hey, we're not going to take a kip. We're going to go get some Chinese food.
Oh.
I'm going to ride in your new car.
Oh, here we go. All
Let's
right.
Let's go.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to Revival Town today, and we will be back next week. Make sure you're telling people about it. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Revival Town Podcast. Make sure you're following us on social media and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, head on over to revivaltownpodcast.com.